What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Forever Dog.
I don't know why I thought King Richard was based on a book.
Yo, the screening I went to, they had a screening that morning, and Will was there.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't go to any of the screenings that Will was at.
I saw one with him.
Oh, you went to one of the screenings?
Did?
He was there? How was he?
He was cool.
I'd be nervous to meet him.
So how much do you guys follow tennis or...
Bruh, I used to play, baby.
Oh, wow. Really?
I used to... My mom had every type of activity to keep me off the streets. Tennis was the one that lasted the longest. I did not like it. But I played for like 5 or 6 years. Maybe more. But it was... Wow. I used to get made... It was not... Serena and them were not out yet. It was not cool. We had to go every Saturday and Sunday. I hated it. I didn't even like being semi-good in it because people would make fun of you. It was like...
Oh, Dra just said semi-good. That means he was actually good.
Don't get it twisted. The boy had a backhand and a serve, okay? Don't get it twisted. The backhand was hard.
Whenever you semi-good, you're like, semi-good. Okay, all right. You was
semi-good.
Out there. You was,
semi-good.
When you
semi-good.
Say semi, you was out. Couldn't nobody touch you.
Nah, man. It was like, you used to get made fun of, dude. Because like, you would go in a sport, and it was a sport that was like predominantly white, and you had to go to this place they called the bubble, which is a giant... Like it was a bubble. It was like this giant tennis area that had like 20 some tennis courts, and they would have practices. They would have like little matches, and like you would probably be like one of the only black kids there. And then to get there, you had to drive through like kind of this black neighborhood. I don't know, man. It just never felt cool. I didn't feel cool on any type. I didn't feel cool. I was like a black dude. I didn't feel good walking around my neighborhood with the tennis racket. It just, I was too much in my head. I should have listened to my mama though. You know, I should listen to her. She was on to something.
Wait, what would have happened if you listened to her?
I mean, I don't know, man. I would have took it serious. I don't know. I was like,
do you think that you could have played professional tennis?
I mean, I think like, listen, okay.
My man.
How many black dudes you seen in tennis? I'd have been out here. If the only thing is, I would have been worried about, I think I was an asshole, but I was definitely cocky. So I always think about that one angry tennis player. And I'm like, I don't think I could have ever been angry because I'm black. Yeah, because you can never be an angry black person like that. But, I would have been mad cocky and probably super average. Like, super average.
Nah, because there's nobody who's as good as underplaying themselves as you. And you just said you were semi-good. That is making the images I have of you playing tennis right now. Like,
dumb average.
There is, because you're all, oh yeah, I was semi-good. Okay. All right.
Yeah, man, just semi, man. Just semi-good, man. Listen.
Like, meanwhile, I know. We find out this dude was incredible.
Nah, oh, semi-good.
This dude
semi-good.
Is just like, he's out here crushing it.
Nah, man. Don't even say that. Mom would be so mad. Be like, you wasted it. You wasted the last.
Yeah, don't let your mom
talent.
See this
you
movie.
You wasted the talent.
Don't you know who you could have been, Jerome? You could have been the king, Richard.
Jerome, where did that glass go?
For the listener, Dra just all of a sudden took out a wine glass of orange juice. Yeah,
it's clearly a mimosa. He pulled a mimosa.
I mean,
it was
my
off
man
screen.
He was pulled- like, actually, I am King Richard, and he sipped a mimosa.
Honestly, this has been sitting up here for hours, and I've been trying to figure out how to bring it in. And I knew it was coming, man, because Bray was acting too interested in what was happening in my life, and I was like, something's coming.
Wait, no.
I was like, no, let me hold it. And I've been holding this glass,
saying, man. Who knows what you could have been, Cave? You know what I mean? Could have been at the top, baby. You know what I mean? The Presidente, the King Richard.
Wow. No, I don't like that the bit is now Bray says King Richard and then Jirok casually sips him.
No, man. What are you talking about? My friend is just powering me up and I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, I'm thirsty maybe. At the same time. That's all.
Come on. Everyone bro. Also needs to understand that the mimosa is fully hidden. And so every time Jirok sips it, it appears. It appears on screen.
Come on, man.
All right. Well, Bray did the transition, so we should. All right.
Well, why'd you get disappointed? You just got so guilty.
Let's start this thing.
Some might say I'm the King Richard.
Wait, what? I thought I was the King Richard.
Transitions. Okay. Anyway, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Drum Milligan. What more can I say?
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Yeah, I want to thank y'all for taking off y'all hoods before y'all walked in here.
Bro. Bro, that line was hilarious, dog.
I can't believe
it. Oh my God, that got me.
Yo, when he said it, I was like, wait, what? I was like, this dad is reckless, dog. This dad is reckless.
The first
that made me like him so much.
Yeah.
Because they were so uncomfortable when he said it. He was like, it's a joke. And they were like,
Dude, I'm sorry. That thing was so funny. It's like, yeah, y'all know. Honestly, I had to go back and watch. It's so interesting watching this movie because this is a thing that we lived through. So I remember some of these interviews, especially the one mm-hmm. where he like stops it. Like, I think people started posting that interview, I want to say like a year or two ago for some reason, before COVID. And it was like just how protective he was of them. And he just would just shut down interviews and be like, nah, dog, they kids. I love that, man.
I love it.
That also recently went viral, like a video of him doing that. Something happened. Like, this was very peripheral for me. The Tenet, all sports are peripheral for me. Like, I don't have a connection to any. I remember when they hit the scene as doubles, though. Like, that's what I like. So I don't even know how late
in the Olympics.
Much, yeah,
or just,
yeah.
Just on.
The,
yeah,
or maybe the road to the Olympics or something. You know, but it was very peripheral for me. So like, all of this stuff was all new, and I couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember when they were playing each other. And yeah. I remember it being like it was like the two best tennis players. Are black women, you know? Yeah. It was so cool.
Yeah. I remember when yeah. Venus came out, because I remember Venus came out and people kept hyping up like, oh man, that's some little black girl. And again, I wasn't, that's when I started to stop playing tennis. And she had lost mm-hmm. that match and I thought she had won it because I remember the hype around her so much. But then when we watched the movie, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that woman. She didn't cheat, but it was like the woman kind of did her dirty to win that. And then it was like, oh, you thought it was one. There's another one. And then when Serena mm-hmm. came out, it was like, oh, snap, both of these little girls out here with the little beads. Remember they, yeah. like they always had the beads? I was like, man.
I looked that up. Apparently that tennis player who left to go to the bathroom was like known for doing that. Like she was like known for like, all right, I'm going to leave. I'm gonna let you get tired. Then I'm gonna come, you know, I'm gonna let you get off your game and then I'm gonna come out. Imagine she can live with herself, obviously, but you had to do that with a kid.
14-year-old kid.
She was 14 and you were like, all right, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Oh, that hurts so much. Mm-mm-mm. I mean, I will say this, man. Oh, sorry. Did we even set this movie up? Did we even set up?
No, we haven't set up anything. We just in it.
No. For those of you who are listening for the first time, this voice that you hear right now that you're probably thinking when you listen to this voice, my God, I hope that dude has some kids because he sounds like he'd be a really good dad. Just sounds like the voice of a man who would be a really great father. That voice is Jonathan Braylock. Now the other voices.
This voice is James III. I just jumped in.
Great.
You know, because you got to be, because if I learned yeah. anything from this movie, you got to attack. You know, you got to jump in. You know.
This is the voice of sadness.
And whose name is attached to that voice?
This is Gerard Milligan.
Good job. Good job, son. we're a film review podcast. Okay, we review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 2021 film King Richard, starring Will Smith. Is it Ingenue Ellis?
Ingenue.
Oh my goodness.
Demi Singleton, who plays Serena, and then how do you pronounce this young lady's name?
I just closed it.
Sania Sidney.
I think it's Sanaya. I actually have
Sanaya. That sounds more right.
Oh yeah, Sanaya. Yeah.
Sanaya Sidney. Mm-hmm.
She's playing one of the Obama daughters too. Now I think.
I think so. She was really good in that show. The Passage.
Oh, she was so good in that show.
We loved her. She was great. And she was really good in this. Great actress. Yeah.
This film, of course, is about Richard Williams raising his daughters, most specifically Venus and Serena, with his wife. What's the wife's name? Brandy?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is definitely an awards play. You know, we very much expect this to be nominated for some Academy Awards.
It better be.
There are no Golden Globes this year.
They're still happening. Right. They're happening, right. But they're not airing them.
Got it. They're not doing the ceremony, but they're still giving out the awards.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, they ain't going nowhere. They even doing an international one from what I read.
I thought they canceled themselves. All right. Bruh. Anyway.
You thought. We thought.
No, they were like, we're not airing these anymore is all they said.
We're not airing them. Okay. Yeah.
But then I even read that they may even have another... I read that like NBC was like, nah, but now there may be another network who's like, well, we'll do it. So fingers, we'll see.
Listen, the budget of this film is $50 million. We're reviewing it before it comes out because, you know, we insiders. So we were able to see it in advance. It'll be interesting to see how this does at the box office, because this will definitely be a box office play. You know, Will Smith is back. He hasn't won an Academy Award yet. He's trying to win one.
Two-time nominee. He
lost a black book both times, right?
Both times. It's a weird fact.
Yeah. It was like Jamie and Forrest. I mean, those were some tough. Jamie was. That was Jamie's time, man. I'm sorry. And I love.
If Jamie was the Ali one, he wasn't ever going to win that. But
no. Jamie wasn't the Ali one. Jamie was
Pursuit of Happiness.
That was tough.
I hope he gets nominated for this.
He better. I mean, unless there's a flock of movies coming out, like he earned, like, I hope he gets that nomination.
I would be surprised if he wasn't at least nominated for
same.
This.
It'd be like,
I don't know if he's going to win, but I would be very surprised if he wasn't nominated for it, to be honest. This movie currently has a 91% in Rotten Tomatoes. No audience score because, again, we're reviewing it before it's out in theaters. Shall we start with our initial thoughts?
Yeah.
I'll go.
Okay,
I loved it. I was tearing up the whole time, but I didn't know which part to cry on because it was so good. You know what it was? I liked that this movie was very encouraging. I liked that Ingenue, the mom, had so much impact where, you know, even at a certain point, she's like, yo, she learned that swing from me, not you, but you're taking credit for it. And I thought that, like, there was just so much love. It was so much, like, outside of how they raised the kids, everybody felt like a team. And I feel like that is, you know, what I always envision a marriage is. It's like we're on the same team. Everybody's like doing a very team thing. And also seeing what happened with those kids, because like everything he did was a gamble. And I was like, bro, I don't know if I would have had the balls to do some of that stuff. But he did. His kids trusted him, which I thought was great. And again, it didn't show him without his faults. And I think it's very easy to have these movies where like the dad is like just overcoming every issue, but his hubris was like his biggest downfall. And it's like, luckily enough for him, you know, he had a wife he actually listened to, and then he had a kid. And then also everybody was telling him to calm the fuck down. And like, I think when he finally did it, you know, it took, a lot of people wouldn't have. So I really enjoyed it. I'd watch it 100 more times. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a really great time watching this. I did not want to see it. I'll say I was nervous about it. I was like, oh man, is this going to be good? Like, I was like, is Will going to be able to, you know, because there's been some, you know, movies that I've been for awards, you know, that Concussion. Have been like Concussion and specifically, I'm probably most thinking about like Concussion and then like maybe 7 pounds a little bit. But it was just like, I was a little worried. Like, oh, sometimes these performances are a little off from Will. I thought he was incredible. I thought he did he was fantastic. I couldn't believe how good he was. How good, and Anjanou just really crushes it. You know, it really the movie takes time to really make sure her story isn't forgotten in all this. I generally like the way that they balanced the positivity with the flaws that Richard had. How do you talk about them in this capacity? Yeah. And I thought that these little kids, these actors were so amazing. Apparently Sanaya is left-handed and had to learn tennis and had to learn it with her non-dominant hand.
Oh, wow. Like,
that's amazing. I thought the director did just a really great job. There's like a couple little things that we'll probably talk about as we get into it. That I didn't necessarily love, but even knowing the outcome of this, you know, like knowing that they go on to be the greatest tennis player, you know, the greatest current living tennis players, you know, a lot of this specific story, like I think I said earlier, like I just didn't know. It was very peripheral to me. I wasn't super familiar with the ins and outs of this. So like getting to learn this story was really impactful and powerful to me. So I really had a great time.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, this movie was beautiful. I first off the bat want to say, I think Anjanou deserves the Oscar. I haven't seen anything else yet, but I mean, her performance was incredible. She definitely deserves to be nominated. I would be surprised if she didn't. I think she could win for this best supporting actor, actress, I guess. I liked Will a lot. I feel like people, it's so hard because Will is such a presence. And I think whenever he's playing a character, it's really hard for us collectively to like, not see Will in it, but I think he did a really good job. Like, I think, like, you know, he really worked on the mannerisms and the voice and like, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like he did what he had to do for this film, and it was moving. Like, the story is moving. It's very inspirational. You know, all the girls are great. All five daughters, I guess it's Sanaya who plays Venus. She was great. You know, it was focused on a particular part in their life. You know, I think it will be great to eventually see a movie that follows them as adults, but it doesn't need to be this movie. And this movie was trying to tell a very specific story about these parents believing in their daughters so much, you know, and it's like showing what it takes or what it took to get these child prodigies to be able to have the opportunity to have their like talent discovered. Because I think we live in this, I'm sorry I'm saying this already, initial thoughts, but it's just like, uh-oh. We live in a country where people think, like, well, if you're the greatest, then that's it. Like, you know, you'll be the greatest no matter what. It doesn't, you know, like if you work hard and we live in a meritocracy and the cream rises to the crop, blah, 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 blah. But I think one of the great things this movie shows is like so many ways in which, no, that doesn't have to be the case. And there are so many different points in time, especially for women and especially for even more especially for Black women, where like you can be derailed and you could have an incredible, amazing talent and no one will ever see it because of all of the barriers and the blockades, you know, and all this stuff. So it's like, it was nice to see. I think telling this story is worth it. Like I know. Yeah. Anyway, I feel like a lot of people will be moved by it. And yeah, man. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about King Richard. Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. In April, soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, Black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger, for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Yeah. I don't remember how it started.
But just something that you said, Bray, made me think about probably why I was so moved by Will's performance is like, there is a point where I'm not thinking about Will anymore. And I'm just like watching Richard. Like, I feel like I'm watching Richard. And my going into it, I was like, oh, I felt like he was gonna willify, like make it Will, you know, like, because he does that sometimes, you know, like it's like, and obviously as a producer, he had a lot of say as a producer and playing the lead role, he has a lot of say in sort of the rendering of stuff. But I definitely felt like he really dove in and became him, which I thought was very impressive.
Yeah, apparently the Serena sisters were heavily involved with this movie. Like, not saying that matters, but it was like, it seems like...
No, I think it does.
You know,
I think that matters as well. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like really in touch, really involved, which I think is great. Because I think it's also one of those things where he's still with us, right?
Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's also something different where, like, you can actually go up to the person, see how they act. I don't know if you guys remember, but there's so many interviews of his dad just, like, just talking sideways about stuff. So, like, you had so much, like, footage to actually, like, take and dissect and dissolve. And some of those, like, interviews that they put in this movie are, like, literally taken from what you used to see on SportsCenter. So I thought it was, like, damn, man. And I think it's, like, you can't talk about... I mean, Serena's probably one of the greatest athletes who ever existed, which they actually say at one point in this movie. And I wondered if that was something he really said to his kids, or is that because that's what happened? Like, Venus became one of the greatest tennis players of all time, and Serena became one of the greatest athletes to ever exist. Like, I wonder if he knew, or did they put that in there?
To me, it feels like he did know, and he did say that, and that was in his plan.
I think he did. I think that was definitely in his plan, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I really think that that's something he said and was a part of his plan. And it's just wild that came to fruition. Like, you know, it's so crazy.
It's something so interesting. And like, it's something so interesting about this movie. It's like, yeah, I know we will be talking about Will and King Richard, but like, as fascinating as he was, and I think, Bray, you're onto something where it's like, yeah, I want to see the adult movie about Serena and Venus. But to me, they were the thing I cared most about in this movie, because you saw the two of them, the two youngest ones. We saw how they were brought up. It was like five or six sisters living in one bedroom. One was a valedictorian. One was a valedictorian. The other one was first in her class as well. And you had somebody who was studying to be a doctor. And you had two athletes. And to see the two of them stay friends, like, I don't have siblings. So it is something to see that, like, no matter what, like, they were rocking with each other. Like, even when Serena became jealous that she couldn't play tennis with the rich white dude, but then her mom still had her back. It was just something about, like,
yeah,
them. Like, I understood that the movie's called King Richard, but it was something about, like, Brandy, Venus, Serena. It was like, they, like, the mom is out here, like, on the tennis court. Like, how you think he got that? Where you think the curve came from on her serve? The curve on her serve.
The balance of the movie was really amazing, because I remember when the trailer came out, and I think I immediately texted y'all, like, I can't believe the first movie about Venus and Serena is about their dad. Like, I was just like, I don't, you know. But I didn't know, and you were like, yeah. But you don't know who Richard is. Like, Richard was the guy. Like, that's like, and then to see this, how, like, so much of what was in the public eye actually just was Richard. It was not like they weren't even playing for so much of that time. And like, ESPN is like, is this dude all talk? You know, like, there wasn't even like for a time, it just was the Richard Williams show. Like, like, that's just what it was. So this was,
he built them up. I mean, the thing that I like about it, the thing that I like about it is, like, it shows how, at least to me, he was taking on that pressure for them, right? He made himself the story so much that, like, they didn't have to. It was like the media focus was on this guy, which also allowed them to be built up, because they're like, is this guy's right? You know, but like, it also, it's like criticism was coming to him. I don't know. But just like, there was a way in which I felt like he was almost like shielding them, you know? And at the same time, probably, you know, it was that ego thing. And I love that we get that scene where she kind of puts him in check. Very, very early on, we get like them going to the court, like the public court, because like, where are we going? We're going to the club, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It starts with him.
Yeah, going
around with the pamphlets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he has these pamphlets that he made, which is, it also reminds me of my parents a little bit. I mean, like, where my mom, like, I feel like it's so beautiful to see parents who like put so much effort into, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. building up their child. Like he made these like pamphlets mm-hmm. for his daughters and he's like going around trying to get free coaching, you know? Yeah.
While also, it's people. A montage of him doing that while he's also going to like clubs and getting discarded balls, like balls that have landed in the trash or that like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like collecting them. You know, we don't know what for, but like right. at first I was like, is this his job? Like, does he work at one of these places? And his job is to like bring the balls, you know, collect the, like a caddy or whatever, you know?
Right.
And he's going around to so many people and he's like, he's basically saying he has the greatest tennis stars of all time. You know, like he's like, my girls are the greatest, you know? And we just need you to train them. And he's trying to get people to do it for free. And we learn in that first scene with the first guy who actually has like a bunch of lines back and forth of what he's like, you know, no one's going to want to take on these girls for free. Like, you just don't do that. Like, even if, and they're kind of like being a little, they're being racist. They're being like, you know, like yeah. you guys don't have any, you know, they're essentially saying like, you're black, you don't have any money. You haven't, yeah. you didn't grow up with the game. Like, we're not going to take this chance.
We're
going to
believe you. Like, you know,
oh man.
I remember, like, do you know what the chances are? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even people who play the violin with money, you still don't become beautiful violinists. It's one of the, yo, man.
Yeah. One of the guy and one of the guys in this montage comes back. He's like, he's a super rich dude who wears like colorful pants. And
oh,
he's
yeah.
like, those pants look expensive. You know, he's like, they are. All right. Well, goodbye. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where like outside of tennis, I just think about the people. Sometimes I feel like I hear white people talk about like the outliers, like the you know, the Serenas, the Michael Jordans, the black people, the few who become greater than. And it's like, yo, do you understand with like what it took to get these people in these kind of situations? Because they don't have the same thing. I was watching a show today and I feel like I've taken the burden because I don't want Braylock to do it. I'd be watching the reviews of a certain show and there's some kids on this particular show. And today, for some reason, I don't know why, I got obsessed with researching every single one of these kids. And I had to
what
know,
is
like,
show?
I can't tell you. Braylock knows what show I'm talking about.
You can't just do this Braylock whole thing about a specific show with no
Braylock
details.
Knows what show I'm talking about. He can sense it. So I got so mad because I was like, the mediocrity that white people get away with and get in positions where like this black dad had to go pick up trash, had to technically try to convince or beg people to coach his daughters. And then when those things didn't work, him and his wife, who were already working night jobs, who already had three other kids, still had to go above and beyond just to get in the same position that these white kids got from birth without having to do much. And yeah. the reason I'm breaking this up is because those kids that I was looking at today tried to do the very new thing, which is like, oh, we know we're very privileged. And I was like, that means nothing if you just keep benefiting off the privileged thing. And I researched their parents and I was like, your parents are so rich and famous. This makes me so mad. I got so mad. So yeah, I don't know what I was going, but it's like, it was something every time I hear about black people like making it out, look what you've done. It's such an insult to me. And I could tell that's why he was insulted later on in the movie.
Oh, it's like, man, what a great scene.
It's like, it's such an insult. Mediocreness, yeah. man. Fucking mediocre.
I mean, yeah, it was nice. It's like, so we like see this whole setup. We see him like he's collecting all these tennis balls. He knows the people at these clubs, but they're not members of. They're practicing in just a public court in Compton.
Yeah, and he called it the club, which I was like, oh, okay, all right. That, you know, they're like, listen, that's where we're at. You know, it gave it a sense of, I don't know, like a sense of, it kind of puts it up on a pedestal a little bit. Yeah, prestige about it, yeah.
I was so scared for them though, man.
But yeah, like they're doing it. There's like, like literal gang members like hanging outside their thing. They're hitting on his eldest daughter because he has all his daughters with him. That part was so scary. And so like, cause it's like one of those things where it's like, what do you do? Like, man, like an impossible situation.
Cause they're never playing fair. Like he could easily, not easily, but he could have took on one of them, but he has like the whole crew there.
Yeah,
and it's like,
right. And we literally see that.
Yeah. And his kids are watching.
They beat him up. And then when they get home, the girls immediately say dad got beat up again. So we learned that this has been happening a bunch. Like it's crazy.
And he tells a story, but I don't want to skip ahead, but I feel like it's so relevant. He tells a story about like how he's been like hit on his whole life, whether it's, you know, people in his neighborhood, the clan, the people in the other neighborhoods. And it's like, it's something about that generation. Like, I was just talking to my girlfriend this morning. It's something about that struggle. Like those people who suffer so much from segregation, Jim Crow laws are still alive. Like they're late 70s. They're late 70s. They're still here. They're still kicking. And they've seen so much of the world change. And it's like, I can't even imagine. I mean, of course, we know racism, but I can't imagine that particular world where like you cannot physically be in a room or sit in the same, like I can't sit next to somebody on the bus or the train. And to hear him say that, and then to see the people who are abusing him most are just like these young black dudes in the neighborhood. Like, it's just it was such a heart-wrenching thing to see. Cause I'm like, yo, how does this end? I had no clue how that was gonna end. I was like,
Yeah.
My God. And I was scared for the daughter. Oh man.
Oh my God. All of them. Yeah. But he's like, they're also just, and he's just training Venus and Serena. It's like, I don't know. It's just so incredible to think about. Like, and then like when they get home, the moms go, it's so funny. We have this interaction with the neighbor, the nosy neighbor, who's like, tell your dad to stop working you too hard. Mm-hmm. And he goes over and he's like, stop, like, don't talk to my kids. Like, I told you, stop talking to them. And in this interaction, it is like, because you don't really know anything, like any backstory, what's happening, you're kind of like, oh, is he working them too hard? Yeah. Which made me realize how easy it is, you know, for people to judge like other parents. Especially when you're not doing anything. It's like she had a kid, but when we find out her daughter is literally on the streets, like is a drug addict on the streets, which makes it even more insane that she's like criticizing.
That's how it be.
He immediately is like, which corner is she on? And you're like,
so messed up. But also, you're like, yeah, I mean, dude.
Like, how dare you? Like, how dare you? But again, people do that. I mean, again, like, what happens? One of the first scenes is like, oh, that's when he ends up. I think one of the early scenes, just to get back, is like when he takes his daughters and he's like, we're going to go play tennis at some, like, we say, like a nice place today or something like that. He just runs up on the rich tennis coach who's training. Well, you said his name earlier, Bray. Like, John McEnroe, the angry guy. Mm-hmm. Also, side note, it's so funny because I think it's Serena and like it's so good because they have like little things like sprinkled out the movie. They have like Serena really kind of struggling with her serve, which is a real life thing. And then every now and then you see her get like really intense when she's playing. And it's so funny thing about John McEnroe because I remember a couple years ago when Serena got pissed, when she got like mad because of something like the ref did. And people kept saying she was like a bad sport, this and that, this and that. And I remember people kept showing clips of McEnroe and be like, yo, this dude's whole career was like breaking tennis rackets and screaming at the refs. And like, that's
right. who they hire in commercials. And then ESPN, I forgot, Jemele Hill, she went even further and did like a montage of Tom Brady, like screaming at people, like on the sidelines, at the coaches and at the thing. And it's like, no one talks about this. Like, everyone's like, this black woman is like being all blah, blah, blah. But these white dudes are literally getting money off of this thing. McEnroe literally is in movies, is on commercials, just yelling at people because that is the thing he became famous for. And it's considered passion.
He's the narrator of Never Have I Ever.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, okay. I just thought about that the moment he popped up on screen and I was like, yeah, man, this dude used to just storm off all the time and like no one. Yeah, it was fine. Like, again, people complain, but it's like, it was fine. This was his career. This is how we know him. That was a very ballsy move by Mr. Williams, for sure. Also, he called, was Venus or Serena? Didn't he call one of them Junior?
Yeah, he called Venus Junior.
Venus. He called Venus Junior several times.
I
didn't understand it.
She is not a junior. Oh, okay, not an actual junior.
Gotcha.
But he called her junior. The movie does not tell us why. They don't give the backstory on where that came from or why.
I thought that was cool. I just didn't know if that was a thing you could. I don't know if there was a different way. Instead of naming like your daughter James, was it a way to do that but still have her be a junior if you didn't have a son? I was trying to figure out.
I don't think so, because I think it is just literally just a way to designate that person has the same name but is a different person. Like, I think that's the only reason that you do that.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it must have been like some kind of a term of endearment or something, for whatever reason though.
Oh man. It was so interesting seeing that guy. I was confused on Will didn't like him because he was teaching his daughters. He was taking the power away. Because basically, like, the first rehearsal when Venus was there, what was his issue, really? It was the guy wasn't letting him speak? Is that what it was?
So essentially, I think it was just showing that even though this very powerful tennis coach is coaching Venus for free, Richard was still interjecting. I think that was the main point of that. But the thing he kept going back to was he wanted that open stance. You got to keep the open stance. And he kept telling her to close your stance. Right. Like that. And it's like, it's typical to close your stance when you're doing a serve or what have you. And he kept wanting to force her to force them to do it open, which was something that we learned later Brandy came up with,
That's right. Because it made them more agile to the front, like the front and back end. Gotcha. Right. That makes sense. Because I was so good. Yo, I will say this. When they started doing, what was it? Tournaments or whatever. And she was just winning nonstop. And it was like, I thought they were going to have her lose. But then she went to like 50-something, like 56-0 or something crazy. Yeah.
Well, I was looking at it up. And apparently, it was like that that match that we end on where she loses was like her first loss or something. Like, really is like that late. And there was some interview where she's like asked like, was it difficult for you? Or like, how does this compare to your other losses? And she couldn't answer the question, but only because she hadn't had a loss before, which is wild, but also like when you also think that like she also didn't play for 4 or 5 years or however long, whatever that break was as well. So it's both impressive that the first time she loses is actually to, like, I guess the greatest tennis
player.
I might be missing
world.
Up my timeline. But
no,
it's
she
like
was.
Something
it was the number
like
one.
That.
It was the number one, yeah.
Yeah. The number one tennis player of all time,
of all time.
I mean, no,
just at that moment.
At the moment.
I mean, I think one of the coolest things about this movie is that, I mean, again, I know this was a biopic, but just to see this black family who wasn't rich, again, they were struggling, but that wasn't the point. You know what I mean? It wasn't like their struggle to get things done wasn't the point, but you saw like how much they loved their kids and how much their kids loved them. And the thing is, they still lived in the hood. And I thought that was so important, because a lot of times you see these movies and someone's overcoming this and someone's overcoming that. And like, those stories truly do exist. But like, their biggest hardship was racism. Like, a little bit. It was like he was dealing with people who
was their biggest, you know? their biggest hardship was racism. Their biggest challenge to overcome was
racism and like not having any money, you know? Yeah.
And this is the people talk about racism. This was like the 90s. I think, as a matter of fact, 92.
Yeah.
Cause 90s. they do the Rodney King,
show on the TV. Yep.
Yo.
And they say, and it's funny, because they don't play that fully out, but we have the mom say, well, at least they got it on camera this time.
Yeah. Oh my.
Which is also in the same line is in Straight Outta Compton. They do the exact same thing.
Another show does it too. I feel like this is like the third time someone's referenced Rodney King and was like, we finally got it on tape. And it's so crazy that we're talking about this movie that's supposed to take place in 1992. And I was at a bar with one of my friends, and we were talking about that bitch ass little white kid who was crying. What's his name? The one who shot two people went to the bar and was like, I'm the cops. Yeah, that little trash dude. And somebody in the bar was like, who wasn't with us, was like, yeah, but we got him on tape. It's not gonna matter. And this person was not black. And they had so much hope. It was one of those things where like, America has not changed enough that myself and my friend, who was also a black male, saw this white woman and knew everything in her heart thought that this was different. He didn't just kill black people. Like, it was on tape. We saw him leave with the gun. They got photos of him in the bar. His tears mean nothing. And I was like, yo, this means absolutely nothing. Like, this footage means nothing. I was like, those tears.
It's like, we're thank goodness we have this thing. I read a tweet thread that was like describing, there was apparently some new footage that showed like that, like basically fully discredited Kyle's testimony. And at the end of this whole tweet thread, he was like, wow, I can't believe it. Like, he's disproving this. It's disproving this, disproving this. All right. So I see his chances now as 50-50. The tweet thread ended with, I guess now he's at 50-50. And it was like, oh,
I mean, but that's so sad. Because I think about like watching him watch that and to think like, again, generationally, these things continue to happen. And it's seeming like it's happening for every black generation. We have to like suffer through one of these occurrences. And for every one time where it doesn't happen, or we finally get like one conviction, there's so many other times that we don't. And even though that was just a footnote, the movie wasn't even about that. They just dropped it in to be like, hey, don't forget about this. Like, the timestamp it and moved on. I was like, that's so real, man.
Before we get to it, because I know we've started talking about him, the what's his name? The coach, the president
from
Scandal.
Yeah, the first coach. I know we were already talking about him. But before this happens, I just have to talk about the fact that, you know, we learn that Richard has this like night job. He's a night security. We see that he has a gun. Then later on, basically those dudes from the court, from the tennis court, run up on him again. And beat him up for no reason. Yeah. They beat him up
they just were agitating him, and then the guy was like intentionally provoking him, and then he said something like
about his daughter.
He said me and my guys are gonna run a train.
Run a
on
train.
Her.
Yeah.
And so then Richard snapped and started beating that dude with the tennis racket.
And then the
other guys jumped on him.
And
they pull the gun to his head.
And he could just kill. They are telling him to kill him. They're like, kill him now. And he's like,
kill him now. Know, yeah.
The world doesn't care. Nobody cares about you. And then we see Richard stalk this guy.
With his gun.
Wait for him to see. He sees him in a convenience store. We see him pull the gun out, and he starts to walk across the street, and then a drive-by just comes in, instantly kills the guy that he's about to kill. And then or about to shoot. We don't know if he was shooting to kill him or what he was going to do.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was,
I wonder if
it
that was real. Do you think that like it happened like that? Like that's so.
I would be very surprised if it happened like that. I feel like
it's. You know what I mean?
It feels like. But yeah.
Well, but it feels like it's like, who knows if it happened that way? But it feels like a story that Richard told them. You know what I mean?
I feel like I don't. We should. We could. I don't know if we could look it up. I don't know if it says it online. But what feels real is that he was being harassed by a guy. It feels real that he is a security guard. He has a gun, that he at least thought about killing this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also feels real that one of the people who were a part of harassing them died by a gang-related shooting.
Yeah, yeah, you know what exactly. I mean? Yeah. Like the ingredients, feel real.
I don't know if it happened like in that order, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's all like in the realm of possibility. And I think to me, one of the big things that was showing was just the reality of how easy it is to throw everything away because of the pressures that you're facing, right? Mm-hmm. These people are beating up on him. They're threatening his life. And it shows like why he wasn't really doing much before. Cause it's like, okay, you finally let your pride and ego, you know, go like, I can't take this anymore. I'm gonna do something back. But then what happens? Like, if he had shot that guy, it's like, at the end of the day, like, best case scenario, you're going to jail. You know what I mean? Worst case scenario, you're dead. You know, mm-hmm. like, either way, the Venus and Serena could have been completely thrown off track, you know? And mm-hmm. who knows what would have happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, and it also shows me how easy it is for any one of them to something have happened. You know, it's like, who knows? It's like that kind of like when you're living in that. I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like it's who knows kind of mm-hmm. thing. Like, I don't know. It was a powerful scene.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that the new drug dealer liked him though. It was like the new dude was like, "I see y'all, we got y'all." You know what I'm saying? I was like, it was just a complete opposite transition. Oh wait, well I guess we're skipping around. But I do love. We kind of touched on it. I love when the rich scandal president brings the two agents, and Will doesn't fuck with them immediately. Like from the break, he doesn't like these dudes. And this is when he says, "You took your hoods off, right?" Is this when he says it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that oh, right. Man.
Well, so just the setup. It was like this guy convinces Richard to get Venus and Serena, or to get Venus at least into the juniors. And Venus has been playing these juniors and she's been winning. And I think at this point, I think at some point she was like 63-0 or something.
Yeah, it was
like
something crazy.
Mm-hmm. And she's destroying. And they're like, okay, well, the way that this works is now you're going to get an agent. And the agents help you pay for the coaches and the training and the courts, access to the clubs, and blah, 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 blah. And he feels like, this one guy was like, oh yeah, it's so incredible what you've done. It's incredible. And he's like, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying it's incredible? And he's like, well, what do you mean? I just with your resources and what, you know, and he's like, no, he's like, and they're like, no, I just think he's trying to, that was one of my other favorite parts was he's like, he was like, I think what this guy's trying to say. And he's like, this is a grown man sitting across from me.
Yeah.
Yes. He can tell you. You don't have to say what he's trying to say. He could tell me what he's trying to say. I asked the man a question. Let him say what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Dylan McDermott.
And he's like, Richard, let us take it from here.
And what I found amazing about this, and he continues to do this. Richard continued to do this throughout their early career. Is that he farts. I found the fart incredible, but the Paul Cohen, the coach, has been coaching Venus for free. Like, he's not getting any money for this. And something that seems to be an understanding at the beginning of this is that, like, all right, I'm going to coach these kids and then for free, and then they'll start doing this, and the agents will help to get sponsors, blah, 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 and then some money will come. But the first nugget of potentially getting money, Richard completely squanders it because he feels like he's being disrespected by these people, you know, like, but Paul has been doing this for free this whole, like,
dude.
And, maybe Richard never had the intention of them getting an agent at this stage, right? Seemingly, right? Because he didn't want money and things like that to come into play yet. He didn't want them to sort of be dealing with these pressures at that age, you know? And so he was just using Paul for his for his coaching ability, which I found, and the fact that he, because they were so good, was able to achieve that. I thought that was amazing.
I thought it was great too. But also I thought it was the confidence and assuredness that he had to have. And also, again, to me, the most important part about this whole movie is relationship between Richard and Brandy. So even when President from Scandal came to the house and was like, did he tell you this? Did he tell you this? She still rocked with him in public and was like, yep, this is what we're doing. But in the moment that dude left, he was like, are we not a team? You know what I mean? And I think that's so important because I'm not married, but like, that's what I envision. I envision like, this is it. Like, we're on the same team. Like, we got to check in to like, whatever the goal is, that's the thing. And it was so cool how she checked in on him. I was like, yo, don't make me have to respond. And I was like, ooh. And that I was like, ooh, boy. I was like, that's, don't make me have to do it. And I was like, that was so real, man. And she checks him so many times throughout this movie. Then, like, when Serena, like, I think it might have been before this. Actually, it was the scene before this when Venus wins. And then he, like, doesn't like that they're gloating. And he, like, tries to drop them off.
And he's like, go back and get my kids. Don't you ever. And then later on when they're in the house, he's like, don't ever leave my kids. And he's like, you're still on that?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, we're still on that.
I mean, that's so real.
Don't what you ever leave my kids.
The rendering of Orsine is how, especially in these earlier scenes, until we get that big, kind of like that big kitchen scene. In these earlier scenes, she, like, never has to explain herself, mm-hmm. right? Like, she's like, a lot of her comments and the way that she checks them, it's just like direct. It, like you said, like, you know, like, don't make me have to say something, you know, don't, and that's it. It's not like a speech. It's not like, because you're doing da 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 da. It's like, don't make me have to do. And then she walks away. Like, and then, and even in that scene, you know, like, yeah, we're still on this. And then she walks away. She's like, very much like, this is how I feel. Very direct. And she doesn't need to, she doesn't mince words. She doesn't need to overexplain herself. It's very like, she's very clear. And I thought that that was a part of her power. I thought that was real, like, in terms of the, and I don't know if that's indicative of, you know, the conversations that they had with her. Or what? But I thought that the way the portrayal of that was very strong to me.
Yeah, I agree. It was beautiful. Don't ever leave my kids. Also, I loved it. Like, she kept training Serena, and I think it was Venus's last match. It sucks. It sucks. And I get why Richard was so mad. But like, when the white dude starts cheating for his daughter who's losing to Serena, to Venus, and he's like, it was out and everybody knew it was in. Remember that?
And right. That was weird.
It was out, and then the daughter was like, it's out. And then they all kind of had to, like, you know, stomach it. But then the very next match, you realize that the whole time, the reason you see the whole family, except for Serena, because Serena's playing matches too and like dominating on people, and yeah. the mom signed her up for it. I was like, this is, I don't know, man. A cool mom is like, I don't know. Maybe I'm a mama's boy, but like, there's something about like a mom that just like rocks with you the whole time that just feels so good, it. Man. It's just.
Like, the other thing to that, by the way, I loved the montage of seeing all of these the juniors like yelling at themselves, like, you suck. Oh, wait, you suck. So yeah, they're like yelling at themselves. They're like angry. They're like throwing things. You see the parents being like, is that what you like? You know, like, they're so mean.
Yeah.
And he's like looking at all this being like, yo, these parents are terrible. They're trash. They're kids. And he just wanted to be the antithesis of that, you know, to big them up. And his whole thing when they are all playing is like we're going to have fun. Let's have fun. And he took that humble thing, you know, I think a step too far. But I did like that's the other thing about this movie. Like, it allowed there to be layers. Like, it was both like a good lesson he was trying to teach them of being like, hey, like, don't talk bad about your opponents. Like, everybody's out here trying their best. You know what I mean? Like, you win, you could be confident. It's like, you could have confidence and believe that you're the best without having to put other people down, you know? That was like a beautiful thing. And also, but it was also like, dude, like, let them celebrate and have fun. Like, they can celebrate that they won, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah.
What happens after that? Sorry, though. When they, is this when he like pulls her out?
Well, we move on to the next, because he pulls her out of juniors. He doesn't want to do juniors. He doesn't and he breaks up with this coach because he's like, well, this is the way that it has to be done. And he's like, well, we're not doing it that way, you know? And that's controversial. But then he calls the other dude, he calls this other coach, and this other coach comes out and he watches them play. And he's like,
it's this, so crazy. And then
we have the contract scene where he has a contract. He's like, here's my contract. He's like, great, here's our contract.
And he also keeps bringing up just another big coach as if they have this other offer. He just keeps bringing him up. The way he played this was amazing.
Is it weird that I felt bad for that dude, that coach? Because it was like, yeah. And he's like, all right. And then we all need a house. It was like, wait, what? He's like, because we're all coming. And then except for her, because she's going to college. And then we need a RV to get there.
Here's the thing. You do feel bad. You do, like, the way that the movie makes it makes you feel bad for him, and you kind of, because that is how I think most people look at it. But then when you think about the end game of this all, this guy is so lucky. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, he is lucky to be working with, and like, somehow Richard was able to make it so that they knew their worth and they didn't have to be desperate, even though they were in a place where it's like, $3 million, you know, when we get to that, like, any of this stuff feels life-changing. Just for them to have a free house life-changing, and yet he was still able to be like, no, we, like, they're worth all of this, you know what I mean?
Because it's like, such a risk, because we were watching it and I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Such a risk.
Because I'm like, this dude, because you're right, bro, like, this dude gets 10% off of all future earnings. Now, if 15, these kids, oh, it's 15. Now, if this dude is, if they're good as he says, like, even right now, I'm like, how long does that last? Because Serena is worth a lot of money. So, like, this nigga's still getting paid, which would make sense because it's like, yeah, I put your family up for 5 years. Y'all were eating for free. Your dad had a job driving. My man shows up. And it's like, yeah, this is my baby, and points to like his golf cart, his blue golf cart. And then later on, he's like, nah, man, that's yours. I walk. I was like, this shit is crazy.
But yeah, it's very funny. Those moments of where Richard is now in charge, at this man's tennis, this whole ass other dude's tennis academy. That stuff was wild. Yeah. And you only feel bad for him because he's there's that degree of like knowing how much he's being worked. Like
he knows. Yeah, he knows.
He's just being worked. Like, we know that this other dude's not calling. And he even when they're there, he brings him up, you know. And, you know, sort of the same thing that Richard did with Paul. Like, the second he doesn't know that they're not going to do any more juniors until they drive across, get to Florida or wherever it was. Until they get there, that's when we learned, like, oh yeah, so they're just gonna sit in this house for 3 years, you know, three, four right. years, and you're gonna train them for free, and you're gonna feed them, and you're gonna do this,
feed
and you're gonna
do that. Yeah.
And you're gonna feed me, and you're gonna give me a job at your.
It's a long time
for them to not even generate any revenue,
or even play, or yeah. even like, and for you to really not have no outside of the practice, not really know. How good they're going to be.
And it's tricky because the whole time, like, Richard is just taking these interviews. Like, so he's always on TV, always talking shit. So it was a risk, man. It was a super risk. But it was interesting because, like, I do think Richard was right where he wanted the kids to be kids. I remember being so mad at my uncle because my uncle was very well off. And I remember I had a job at, like, 12 or 13. And he was like, yeah, man, you got to get a job, blah, blah, blah. It was like supportive of it. But then when it came down to his kids getting a job, he like bought them like a BMW before they had licenses and stuff like that. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? And he was like, well, I wanted my kids to not have to grow up until they had to grow up. And I was like, man, what the fuck? But then when I think about it, if roles were reversed and I had kids, I'm like, yeah, I want these kids to like, think about it. Every sport we do, whether it's acting, whether it's like dance, whether it's like football, whatever, it's always fun until you can be professional and make money, whether you can go to college for free, whether you're like trying to get into Juilliard, whether you're trying to then the love of it goes away until you succeed in it. But then even then it's more pressure. Right. So it's like, I get what he was trying to do.
But Gerard, like, don't buy someone a car before they have a license, nigga, because then it's going to be not
James.
That year's model.
James,
but just
BMW.
Wait till
it was the same year.
Oh, they was getting a license that year?
It was, yeah, okay, so it was turning 16, got a BMW. And I was like, man, what type of rich? But also, I was like, look at y'all black family, who can do this? God bless. I'm just hating. I'm over here working at movie theaters.
I loved John Bernthal in this. I thought he was great. That scene, though, when this felt
the Punisher?
Like... Which one?
Why you do that? I don't like when y'all do this. I don't like. I don't like it. I really don't.
No,
like
I liked.
It.
I liked Shane from Shane. That's a scary name, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Man, he was so good in that.
He was. That was his first big thing, right? Like his.
Yeah.
They
said that's what I remember him.
They said they didn't want. It's so funny bring him up. They said the director didn't want to cast him because he didn't believe. The director believed that John. How you say it? Bernthal.
I think it's Bernthal.
Bernthal.
I think it's Punish.
Oh my goodness. They said they believed he was too tough of a man to play a character like that. I thought he did great.
Hilarious that they thought that they just thought, you know what, he's not an actor.
They said he rode up to the meeting wearing a hoodie, some sweatpants, high above his they said his reps told him that they didn't think he was right. So when he showed up wearing an old sweatsuit, hoodie, sweatpants all the way up to his waist that was ripped. He had his pit bull Bam Bam riding in the front seat. He looked like Rick Meraki. Who is that? He looked nothing like the character. Anyway, it's just interesting seeing like how people don't think you can actually act.
I shrunk the kids.
Yeah,
it is
really insane. It's really insane to be like, this great actor isn't going to be able to act this. you know what I mean? But I will say it was nice to see him playing a part like this, because it's so rare to see him play a part like this between Shane and Punisher and, mm-hmm. you know, like he's often just going through some shit, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was nice to see him play this, like, I'll train the girls. I'll do that. This, I'll do that. You know, like,
and his voice was like, so crazy. Like, we got burgers. I was like, yo,
don't eat that. That'll go straight to your thighs or whatever.
Yeah. I was like, yo, this is so good.
It was so funny. They had him every time he would say not to eat something, he would take it and eat it himself. Oh, don't eat that. They're the best goddamn fries. You're like,
yes.
You're giving me mixed signals with this.
But also, I just love how much I will say this. The one thing I liked about that situation, I loved how like everyone genuinely cared about these kids all in different levels. Like, you know, Richard was super protective. Brandy was protective, but wanted them to make decisions on their own. Rick cared about the kids also because he had invested in them so much. But also at one point you realized the kids were going to him more than they would go to their own dad, because it was like the dad was like so laser focused. We're like, yo, Rick, talk to this man, like, help me, like, talk to him, please. And it was so much autonomy that I love, that when it came time for Venus to decide what to do with Nike, $3 million, boy,
bro.
And she was like, they haven't seen me play. It feels weird
to me play
to do this. They haven't seen me play. And then even after she was losing, you know, fast forward, she loses, they're still like, oh, it's $4 million now. And it's like, okay, but you know what I mean?
Well, first they go and she's like, she lost the first like four games of her first match, but then she wound up coming back and then winning that, winning this. I don't think she won those sets.
Yeah,
I don't know if she,
because
she won those sets.
Yeah, she won them.
And then it was like, after that, they were like, okay, now they're upping it, you know? And they're like, yeah, we're going to hold off on that. And he's like, what are you talking about? She's going to play the number one player in the world tomorrow. She can't win.
Yeah.
You know? But even that didn't matter. It was like, win or lose, the fact that she held her own on that person, and then it went up to whatever million, you know.
It was like six or eight million. And it was crazy because that was before she even had that match. And then Crazy Pants came to Rick and was like, yo, man, even if she, like, what did he say? It doesn't even matter if she wins. Like, yeah, what you just said, Brandon?
No,
like,
he said, if she wins, it'll be the biggest upset in sports history.
In sports history.
I mean, it was something so disheartening seeing that lady, like, ice her, I guess what they call it. I really remember her winning that match, but then I think I remember everyone cheering her.
The sponsorships are now rolling in. There's like all kinds of people calling now, you know, and it's like, yeah, good thing they didn't friggin' sign for $4 million with Nike.
I mean, with the post credits, we learned that they signed with Reebok for $12
million. Yeah.
Or 15. 14 or 15.
And then I think they said Serena went with her, but like Serena's Nike deal is crazy. I remember because Serena had like some off-white stuff. Her current one is like, she even has like an Amazon production deal for like TV and movies. Look, man, just seeing what they accomplished is.
Wait, there's mad other scenes though that I wanna. Yeah, no, but just a couple. Well, just because once you get to Florida, we're kind of like on this train it's either between working with Cohen and moving on to Punisher, We already get the thing from the neighbor being like, you're working them too hard, you're making them play in the rain, blah, blah, blah. Then we see the scene where they actually play in the rain, and the girls are like ready. They like want to do it. They want to learn like what the skill is like, you know, what are the different things you got to do. And then when they come home, the cops are at their house.
With child services.
Cop and child services. And when they go in on the cops, like, yeah, you know, we're trying to keep our kids off the street. We're doing this. Is that wrong? You know, but then when Brandy goes, I'm gonna go talk to her. My whole audience went, ooh. And she she walks across the street and she's like, oh, I've never been over here. That's a shame. Don't make me come back.
Yo.
Again, she is a woman of few. She don't need to say too much. All she says is, she says, you of all people should know how hard it is to raise a daughter. I have five of them. That's all she had to say. I have five of them. Don't make me come back over here. It was amazing. I thought, bro, that was incredible.
Yo,
incredible.
It was because also it was so real, man. Like that point up here, I remember my neighbors called the police on me when we were just like hanging in the living room, like not playing music, just like me and three friends just kind of chilling. And I remember the effect that has, because it can go south if you're black. It can go south so fast. Like, they're already trying to get in your house. They're already trying to look for stuff. Like, I don't smoke or anything, but like, even though that's legal, that's still like a thing. So the fact that they had these kids in this house, I'm not sure if they saw the bedroom where it was two bunk beds. No, it was a bunk bed and then two separate beds. And like, Venus and Serena slept on the same bed. I'm like, how could you do that to another black family who's like trying? It was like, they ain't.
Yeah.
They were trying. They weren't out here like beating kids. They were like, no, man, let's get in the house. We got shit to do. Like,
yeah. And then the scene in the kitchen, the kitchen scene where, so this is like after, so like we already talked about how the girls would go to, John Berthold's?
Rick. Yeah.
Would go to Rick and like ask Rick to talk to Richard for them, you know, and like, and it actually works. Like, Richard's like, you know what? You're not wrong. Like, I'm going to say this once, you know, you're not wrong. So we're going to sign her up for this tournament. But then after he sees that the last tennis star, the last really big tennis star that Rick coached is now like on drugs and is very much on the news, like having a lot of difficulty. He decides on his own again, without talking to Venus or without talking to Brandy, to pull her out of the thing. And after Rick confronts them and everyone learns that he pulled them out, there's this amazing scene in the kitchen where Brandy's just like, I could have left you because of, and then we learn,
yeah,
this, we're kids. About an hour and 15 minutes into this movie.
Well, he said, cause he says something like,
where would
like,
you be?
Well, don't stay on my account. And she was like, you think I'm staying here for you?
Yeah, because of you.
Because of you? If I was staying here, if I was here for you, I would have left years ago.
Yes.
I'm here for them, you know?
Let me tell you.
My girls.
This gave me, I've been standing with you, Troy. It gave me callbacks to that from Princess.
Oh, yeah.
It was this whole sequence was amazing. And I love that, like, we didn't know about these other kids. We didn't know about these infidelities. Yeah. We didn't know about any of this stuff. And the way it came out, I think, in the movie was a really nice touch for them to, like, to just hold on to this and for us to learn it through this fight. I thought that was beautiful. The only thing that, and this is, I said in my initial thoughts that there was like one thing about it that like the movie that like kind of threw me is, I love the way that this comes out, but then after it's out there in the ether, it colors the rest of the movie in a different way. And then it makes it like when we hear his speech of like, I don't want you to feel like I'm ever running away from you. While we know that he has ran away from so many other kids, it's this like, and granted, they are, you know, he was working to make these two the best in the world. It's just this complicated thing. It's not a problem with the movie necessarily, but it's this sort of complicated thing to kind of wrestle with. This reality that like, he did this really great job of nurturing and taking care of this family, you know, but while also like just fully abandoning, who knows? I mean, we can probably look this up, but you know, there's definitely a son. And there's definitely just other kids, you know, mm-hmm. That he is abandoned, that he is running away from, that he is not taken care of in that way.
Yeah. That scene was, I mean, that's that Oscars. That's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that's
the scene. It. Yeah. That's the scene.
That's the scene. Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
but,
that's the scene. Man, this movie just was so beautiful, man.
Also, when she came out with her, with the bees in her, the white bees.
Yes.
In the braids. Yeah. I was like, ah!
My audience clapped. Yeah. Yeah. It was so cool. And you like, you kind of hear them before you see them. Yeah. The way that it's, because she's like a little bit in shadow and we like hear the beads and then she walks through. Yeah.
Speaking of how we have not talked about her, she was so good. This whole time, like looking at this black girl is like, first off, she is holding her own. Again, Will Smith is Will Smith, who was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But to me, like Anjanou has been that actress that's been around doing great work for so long. So it's wonderful she's finally starting to get her flowers. And like this young actress has been like crushing in every scene with them. Like every scene. Even the scene at the very end, which is so tough, where like she lost, but didn't know whether, like, but almost didn't know whether it was okay to cry because was that too soft? Like she was like, it was just so much confusion. And just seeing her be like, yo, I want to carry my bag. Like, it's just so much power I thought this girl had throughout this whole movie. And I was like, but so much joy, so much fun, still so childlike, which I think is very hard. She is great. Like, she will be like that next person we talk about all the time. Let me not mispronounce her name. Let me make sure I say it right real quick. Hold on. Let me go back to the IMDb. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sanaya is how we've been saying it.
Yeah,
Sanaa Sidney,
yo, fire,
and just to that scene that you just mentioned, like, is something that I think is incredible about Richard and Brandy's parenting, because we've seen the montage of all of the other tennis parents and how they treat their kids and how their kids react after they lose, and I think Richard says something like, You held your own against the number one tennis player right now. You know, you held your own. You went toe to toe with her. If you can't be proud of yourself right now, you're never going to be proud of yourself, you know? And it was just like this amazing thing. It's like, that's exactly what you say, you know, like you hold your head up high because you really did hold your own against the number one tennis player.
You're 14.
At 14, you know? Oh, that was so... God.
And the thing is, he was like, you even had her shook or something like that. And I was like, it's true. She did have her shook. She did have her... She had her literally walk to the bathroom.
She dominated. The other player didn't score that whole first game. Didn't score.
Like, and you know what?
She didn't get a single point the whole first game that she played.
And you know what?
And she didn't start getting points until she left.
And it's so funny because I think about it as like, you know, we talk about Venus, we talk about Serena. That other woman is just a footnote in how she cheated this little black girl to me. Like, she will always just be a footnote. And like, because I'm like, you could have just took that L. Like, we all take L's, man. Like, it's just a thing that happens. Mm-hmm. But like, the way she did it just felt so... Ugh, shiesty. Anyway, I don't have anything else to say about this movie. The movie, honestly, I think this movie was just great. I love the family aspect. I just love the story. It just felt so good. It almost felt like I was watching Will and Pursuit of Happiness, but like not crying when he's in the bathroom, because I just can't watch that movie again. But I feel like I had the same joy without having to be heartbroken like that.
And just seeing all the pictures of them later and like in their championships and seeing all that, it was just like, ugh, you're just like, yes.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. I mean, you know, what a beautiful family. And what an incredible, like, American story, you know? Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right.
I don't have anything to add.
Okay, great.
You know, because I would normally, typically do right now is like, I'd probably try to insert Steele, the Shaquille O'Neal character Steele, mm-hmm. into like I would probably try to insert that into King Richard, but this is
why you would.
This is based on a real event, so right, it wouldn't make sense for Steel to be there. Like it wouldn't make sense for it to be like they're there on the, you know, playing tennis on on the tennis court, and then for like say when they're like, you know what, you know, maybe don't try tennis, why don't you try basketball, you know,
I mean,
and
then that'd be so racist.
Say not they're real. Being really super racist. And then say we like after that, then we cut to them being trained by, you know, we see like a basketball bouncing and then we hear like, hey, so I'm going to be your coach. You know, like I would, you know, it wouldn't make sense for me to incorporate like a, like Shaq saying like, I'm going to be your coach, but he's not Shaquille O'Neal. He's Steel, you know? And then he's like about to the ball and he's like, I'm going to, you know, this is how you dribble. And then, you know, but I can't help you with the free throws because I don't know how to do that. Like, it wouldn't make sense for me to incorporate.
So we're not doing that, though. So we're just.
No, because this is a biographical. Yeah. So like, John it really happened. And that, so that didn't happen. Unless there's record somewhere.
No. I think John is ready to end
unless
this.
Unless there's a record that's Steel.
John, don't.
Record.
There might be. I mean, there is.
Of a fictional character.
Listen, King Richard was bigger than life. And
you know
maybe.
What?
Maybe
how do we
maybe
rate and review these movies?
Steel,
right? Like, how do we do this? Don't we like rate and review a certain kind of way or something?
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Okay. Right? You're right.
So, if film fully helps the cause, we go to Black Fist. But somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Steel. On the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings. 3, 2, 1.
I'm sure you can see it.
All right. Yeah, all Black Fist. 3 Black Fists.
I gave it 2.
Okay.
We only can do one. We only can do one, James.
I gave it 2.
That's not how we do it.
He just explained the rules. He just explained the rules.
All right. I mean, obviously, give it a Black Fist. I mean, because this movie's already, it's going to be up for awards. I think it should be nominated for stuff, not the Academy, of course, but apparently, let's see what it won Chicago International Film Festival, Heartland International Film Festival. All right, we have some new actresses on the scene. I mean, hopefully we're gonna get to see more from them. And
this director,
a bunch of these people should be nominated.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of his previous works, of which there is a lot. Oh, he did Top Boy.
Ronaldo.
Yeah,
he did Marcus Green.
He did one movie I thought we were going to view that had Kelvin in it. It was like a cop drama. Crap. I forgot what it was called.
Right, but he directed
Monsters and Men. Monsters and Men. That's it. Really
isn't
good.
He the guy who wrote that stand-up movie that I think we all auditioned for?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's him. Yeah. I feel like that's why I recognize his name.
Oh,
anyway, great. We're not in it. but like, you know, he has a lot of, you know, he has stuff on the pipeline and that's cool. And I'm super excited about that. I think this was a really great production. I think it's going to do a lot for especially young black female actors, right? Like,
yeah,
little black
so.
Girls are gonna really be inspired by this, yeah. Which is great.
No, he is not the person who wrote and directed that. That's another 3-person name. That's a Rashid Ernesto Green.
Is his last name Green though?
His last name is Green. Yes.
Okay, that's all it was. It started with an R and it ended with Green.
Yeah, and it was three names.
For names.
It was three names. It was
and
three,
three names.
Names.
All right, well,
no,
cut all this out.
James, you're not wrong, which is crazy. Green credits his filmmaker brother, Rashid Ernesto Green, with making him a film career. So that's his brother.
Okay, it's his brother. Okay, all right, never mind. Keep it all in.
Wow.
These brothers are doing shit.
That's so crazy. Wow. All right, small world, man. Small world. Damn, that's crazy.
Wild.
Great. This was fun. That was a good one. That was fun.
Yep.
See, I like movies. Right. I like movies.
I still think it would make sense for me to put Steel in this, you know, because it was an act. But I do think that there's a world in which we could probably find Richard.
All right.
And ask him.
You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise. We have links to a defunct Patreon where we have a year's worth of episodes. We also, if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. This one is from Kaviv. Awesome podcast. 5 Black Fists. Ooh, well-rounded podcast with different perspectives. It's always good when you haven't seen the movie and you don't mind the spoilers. Even movies that I haven't, that I've been hesitant to watch, I end up watching after listening to the episode for it. I have a Patreon comeback idea. Review of the Black TV shows and sitcoms. I mean,
yeah, we talk about that. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. That
is what we would do.
That makes total sense.
Listen, hold on, wait. I'm gonna ask right now. Are y'all gonna sign up? If y'all gonna sign up, I'll do it.
How many people you need to sign up?
We can't record hours of additional podcasts if y'all ain't gonna sign up. But if y'all gonna sign up.
How many people you need, James? How many people do you need to be like?
Oh, I'm going to need at least half of the people listening to this. Need to sign up.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!